And thank you very much for having us here today. This is our first attendance at TechShare. And I have to say that it's been a really enlightening, interesting experience, just the one day with the conversations we've had, the technologies that are out there, and the spirit of collaboration really is fantastic. It's a really enticing place to be to talk with people who are trying to solve these really challenging problems we have out there. I have to coordinate my clicker with my laptop. Okay. Right, so we are a small team in the Transport Systems Catapult based in Milton Keynes. In case you can't see me down here, there I am. We are a small team. We've been going for about 8 months, and we're a mixture of technologists looking at audiovisual, gaming engines, and geographic information systems and mapping. We've been very fortunate. We've had a lot of support from the Catapult to build a new capability, which is essentially focusing on the application or the reapplication of virtual reality technologies and augmented technologies into solving problems for transport. If you can see the screen, the big yellow object in the middle, this is the second reference to Star Trek this morning. This is the Mark I holodeck in Milton Keynes in 2016. You've seen it here first. And essentially, this piece of virtual reality technology has come from the military industry. It's called an omnidirectional treadmill. And if you stand in the middle and wear a virtual reality headset, it tracks your position. As you walk forward from the center, the rollers that emanate from the middle, roll in the other direction, and it allows you to explore very large virtual reality environments. The Special Forces use these bits of kit, have a number of them in a warehouse, and do tactical scenarios for it. And as a result of some of the advances and applications in military, they've ironed out a lot of the bugs that have been plaguing virtual reality for many decades. Things like lag, physically feeling what you're seeing and making sure there's no disassociation between those two, because we've probably seen or heard about some of the physiological reactions that people have to a bad VR experience. We've been thinking a lot. We've been bringing this technology together, we've been integrating it, we've had lots of chance to demonstrate existing concepts and demos that are out there, and been a lot of this kind of amazed look when people come in and experience it. So having started experimenting, we've grown the assets that we have in this visualization lab. With the OmniDeck, we can represent and we can recreate walking experiences. We've now got a driving simulator, which is intentionally used for racing simulation. And we're going to look at how we can use that for recreating autonomous vehicle scenarios. One of the biggest challenges, I mean, my background's in human factors, so I'm very keen about the user and how they experience new technologies. And one of the big questions around autonomous cars is, yes, they can move around and they can make decisions, but if they react and behave like a Dalek, it might meet a specification on paper, but humans might be a little bit worried about that kind of behavior. So how can we soften out that movement, and how do we communicate effectively both audibly and visibly with people on the pavement? One of the things that's really jumped out at us is the more sensors you bring into a VR experience, the more immersive it is, and the more you can then do in a virtual environment. So through our fortunate position of having a lot of large companies made aware of our presence through BIS, which is part of the government Business Innovation Services, we have a lot of interesting companies of all sizes coming through our doors, one of which was the RIB and John Walsford. So in November 2015, we did a demonstration talking about virtual worlds and how virtual reality could allow us to reach out and be like Tom Cruise in Minority Report and interact with environments, and play God almost and interact with the traffic systems of a city potentially, and create all kinds of new interfaces to assimilate highly complex and large-scale problems. That kind of went on its head a little bit, and we said, well, actually, if we can create large simulations, can we do more specific tailored products for individuals? So we started theorizing the idea of can we use a gaming engine and some low-tech equipment to create something that was enabling to the vast majority of people. I check with my bosses. Walking is transport. It's part of the whole end-to-end journey. So we're good to work on that. So in January this year, based on this conversation, can we, on the concept that computer games can give users superhuman powers, and you can live out your fantasies, you can walk at high speed, fly, and all these things. Could we, if we use gaming technology in the right way, become someone else? Could we allow users of some of these VR and AR technologies to experience to experience what other people have and what they experience, basically walk in their shoes? If we could do this, we could achieve greater empathy and improve understanding. So we decided that we would work on initially a virtual reality concept that will allow us to recreate all the major visual impairments demonstrate them in a way with showing early onset, mid progression, and late progression. The idea being that this could be a tool that could be used to educate anybody who's been recently diagnosed, or people working in the field and consulting in that field. So for those who can't see accurately, around the bottom we've got a number of interface buttons which initiate the different visual impairments. And then we have a slider bar just above that. So this is one of the early concepts we looked at. And usability was going to be a major challenge here. A lot of people who were using this would be the first time they'd experienced virtual reality. And we wanted to make it as simple and accessible as possible. Furthermore, using something called Google Cardboard, which was our target product, along with a mobile phone, again, to make it as accessible to as many people as possible. Most people have got a mobile phone these days, and so that thought was the best way of getting this technology into their hands. We had to design a user interface that was going to be immediately obvious and give them that seamless experience. So the video that's now playing on the screen is showing the progression from a VR experience into an AR experience, so a virtual reality to an augmented reality. So using the camera on the backside of the phone, we're able to import that picture and display it split screen to give you a little bit of depth sensation, and to make it more contextual. So, you know, walking around a virtual environment we created a marketplace was interesting, but if you can walk around your own home, all of a sudden, you can understand how that visual impairment is going to affect your day-to-day life. It allows your loved ones to understand what it's like to live with that condition, how it might progress, and how you might be able to improve the layout of your house, how it might be able to improve the way you get to work. And that got us thinking, well, if this is good for individuals, then maybe this is good for those people designing very large environments for individuals, and so architects and designers. So let's go on to the next slide, please. Thank you. So the great news is that we're a couple of weeks away from launching an app. It's going to be available on Android and on Apple, on the Apple Store. It's going to be 99p to buy it. This is for personal use. So anybody who wants to find out about a visual impairment and what it means is able to download it and using their phone will be able to access it. We're also selling a cardboard, which is co-branded with the RNIB and the Catapult, to show the relationship that we're building and growing over the coming months. We're keen to learn more and more about living with visual impairments. The idea is to build a set of professional tools that anybody interested in designing for disability and accessibility is able to seamlessly bring into their workflow. So be that an Autodesk, a CAD user, or somebody using Unity, or anybody designing an signage solution, for example, will be able to get hold of our tools. And we want everybody of all ages to be able to access this tech and understand. You know, seeing is understanding, and empathy is key to understanding. If we can get everybody to empathize and understand what's going on, then they'll learn. It'll be deeply ingrained as to what they need to do to try and mitigate some of these issues that they build into the environment that around us. And hopefully, by a mutual understanding and empathy, researchers user experiences and designers can work collaboratively. They'll understand exactly what it means to design for a retinitis pigmentosa, for AMD and all the other conditions. And together they can then review and accelerate the design cycle so that, as opposed to creating design and sending it off for review and coming back and making small changes, you're actually doing this co-creation activity, which hopefully means we can accelerate the rate of designing complex environments for accessibility. So what we hope the visual impairments are going to do is allow designers and engineers to appreciate why inclusive design is so important and how to mitigate for them. With using the tools we've created and the ones we're looking to create in the near future, we'll be able to do site surveys, essentially rating an environment and really highlighting what's right and wrong, not just by a text report or some static photos, but taking people on site and saying, and working with them together to describe the challenge, the problem, and how it can be mitigated. If you involve people in that process, they're much more likely to understand and want to make changes as opposed to getting a report on their desk that they have to read and try and interpret. We're going to create immersive experiences of their designs. So as we come up with new ideas, we can create virtual environments which represent those different concepts. And again, we can rapidly iterate the versions to get something that works for everybody at a cost-effective price, which makes it as inclusive as possible. And we want to help professionals to meet compliance standards. So there's standards out today. There are more standards coming out for inclusiveness. And we want to help them to design new products as well as improving existing products. And working with user-centered designers and using some of those principles of inclusive user-centered design, we think we can get to products that are much more tailored, a lot faster. So the TSC is building new immersive tools that will integrate transport and pedestrian simulations. So we're part of modeling and visualization. And the modeling guys work with transport simulations and pedestrian simulations. So within these virtual environments, we're able to import models that are which are validated by the DFT and being able to make virtual environments more realistic by having traffic movements and pedestrians moving around them, again, will enhance the realism and understand some of the impacts of signage solutions, for example. We think wayfinding is a huge area opportunity to use these simulations so that you can see what can I see from where, what size is it, or what if there's lots of people, what if the train station is busy, for example, what if I'm 5'2", what if I'm in a wheelchair. All those things we can simulate really quickly, and all those what if questions we can, using Unity, very rapidly adjust and say, well, yes, this is the answer, this is the problem. And we're hoping at some point in the future we'll have some algorithms that allow us to say this is the optimum place for a sign based on a number of parameters and end users, so that it will accelerate that process of making sure how you get around is optimized. One of the other barriers we're trying to break down is the creation of virtual environments. Building virtual environments is incredibly intensive. It's a fairly skilled job. We're working with the likes of Esri and their City Engine platform to assimilate data from the likes of Ordnance Survey, from OpenStreetMap, so that we can recreate towns and cities really quickly. We're also looking at drone technology to see how that can also contribute. By taking aerial photography, you can build up three-dimensional models. And then if we can create environments a lot faster, then we can actually do some really interesting interactive assessments with that environment. So we're taking the labor and the effort in creating environments and applying it to, well, what we're going to do with the environment. The key thing is that we want to allow people, users using the OmniDeck and our other various tools in VR and AR, to walk around a virtual space virtually before a hole is dug or a brick is laid. We all know the challenges of changing something that's already in motion. You know, the juggernaut's in a direction, it's very hard to change that. So we're trying to spread the word with large engineering manufacturers and show them the opportunities of getting this right early on, getting them engrossed in the designs at an early stage. We'll save them time and money later on. If we can get it right up front, we're gonna save money. And ultimately, that's going to lead to taking a greater share of the market that the transport systems catapult is based on. So I've got to mention at the beginning, the transport systems catapult has been created to access a new market called intelligent mobility. That's projected to be a market of $900 billion per year by 2025. And our remit is to try and access 10% of that for UK PLC. Well, we think that the technologies we've created for accessibility and also identifying how VR and AR can be used in the design process is going to allow us, as UK PLC, to take advantage of a much greater share of that. If we can differentiate ourselves from our competitors and show that we can do things faster and better by being part immersed inside that environment, that's going to give us a huge advantage to do more projects faster for less cost. Right, so in terms of changing the way we design environments, visual impairment filters will allow designers to and engineers to appreciate why inclusive design is so important. I've gone backwards, I need to go forwards, haven't I? Sorry. So before we do the video, so I wanted to sign off and show you a short video of the next generation of tools we've created. So we've got a mobile app with 7 impairments on it, which if you want to come try it out, we've got a stand opposite the pod. And we've got, and the video I'm going to show you now is the work we've been doing over the last 3 weeks. We've been talking to the RNIB about the challenge of creating virtual environments, and they highlighted that the Judge Street office was due a renewal. So we've managed to get hold of their office and convert it into a real-time environment. And we are looking at how we can validate that environment virtually before we commit to buying it. So as well as walking around it with visual impairment filters on it, the ones we created, we're also looking at tools to look at color and contrast. So walking around that environment, we'll be able to identify issues between doorways, door frames, walls, and actually using a virtual laser pointer, you can actually say that material versus that material, what's the contrast ratio? How does that, does it help people navigate around? So ultimately we can then say, well, we can have confidence that what's being built and constructed is going to work for the end target users. And you see there's Kyle, who's our main technology developer in virtual reality. He's using the Vive handsets to walk around and start picking up objects and moving them around. So for example, if there were signs in there, you'd be able to walk up to that sign, pick it off the wall, place it somewhere else, walk back, look at it, has the text big enough, is the color contrast appropriate, make those changes in VR. And hopefully you can see that this is, you know, the opportunities gives the designers to get things right first time, you know, understand the failings with their designs before they involve other people and slow the process down. It's just huge. This is by no means a finished product. And one of the really exciting things we've experienced over the last day is talking to people with lots of great ideas. So we really want to welcome you to come to the stand and experience it for yourself. And we'd love to know how you think you would be using it in your professional capacity or how we'd use it personally. So please come down, have a chat, have a try, and love to hear ideas. Thank you very much.